The scripture reading will be taken from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses.
Good morning. Now, y'all know Derek loves the Bible so much, he wanted to give y'all a little bit of Joshua. Derek, everybody was looking. It's all right by me that you read Joshua. Joshua's a good book, too. Somebody who stood and fought for the Lord. That when Terry sang that song this morning, I was thinking, boy, that sure is a good song. So the reading of God's word, regardless of where it comes from, is always a blessing. I'd like to tell you, if you're here visiting with us today, you are honored guests. We are so happy to have you with us, and we just want to make sure that you understand we are just a group of God's people who are trying to be obedient to God, do what the Lord tells us to do, and where we find that we need to make corrections in our life, that we're willing to do that, and we are glad that you are here with us today. Hope that there is something said that will help edify you, help make you inquisitive about God's word, or if you see an error in your way, that you'll be willing to say, you know what, I have something that I need to change, and that you are willing to make that change today. That is our prayer. I want you to meet this cute little girl named Javea Jones. Javea Jones lives in Georgia, and she's 4 years old. And last summer in June, Javea and her mom were at the creek. And they were at the creek, and they were playing in the creek, and Javea's mom tells Javea, as you tell most little kids, just stay in this little area and play right here. And so Javea's little girl's playing, and she accidentally walks a little bit too far into the creek. And when she walks in a little too far, she steps off an edge and she doesn't know what's there. And the undertow of the creek is moving and it pulls the little girl down to where all of a sudden all you see is Javea's head bobbing up and down out of the water. And her mom sees her child going down and fearful for her life. She yells, somebody help save her. And this right here is Mike Patterson. And Mike Patterson was a man who was there with his 9-year-old son, and his 9-year-old son and him are also at the creek, and his son is standing there watching his dad, and with no thought, just disregard for anything else, when Mike heard the woman screaming and he sees the little girl's head going up and down, he immediately dove in head first and saved that little girl's life. Now, what's interesting about this story is 2 weeks prior to that, Mike was actually on the side of the road driving and sees this guy in this truck that's on fire, in a tanker truck, and goes over and grabs the guy and pulls the guy out before the tanker truck explodes. Well, you kind of need to know what happened with Mike, with Javea. Because they were in a creek, and the creek are typically shallow, this one was shallow too. And when Mike dove in, although he saved the little girl's life, he dove in head first and he broke his neck in 3 different places. Then he ended up becoming paralyzed from that. And people saw him floating down face first, and somebody pulled him out. And then the paramedics came. They resuscitated him. And they had him in the hospital, and he was in there for a couple of weeks. And the story was kind of sad about Mike. He was out of work, construction worker who had been out of work and just started a job 2 weeks earlier but didn't have health benefits. So people from all around were just generously giving to this man. And I hate to say it, but eventually, complications overtook him, and he passed. And when they interviewed his mom said something important. His mom said that she wasn't surprised about those things that Mike did. She said her son was always a guy who cared about others. Which leads me to the title of my sermon, The Life Preserver. And if you want to turn your Bibles over to the book of Jonah, we are going to start there. But before we get to Jonah, let me kind of set the table for you, set the theme so you understand a little backdrop here. So you have the Assyrians, and the capital city for that nation was Nineveh. And the Assyrians, or the people of Nineveh, they were a terrible people. They were evil, and history shows that the Assyrians were brutal, and they were wicked, and that they sought to destroy people, anybody who opposed them. And if they came up against you, they wouldn't just kill your men. They would kill the women and the children. So they were just a terrible nation. And so what they would do is they went up to people. If you didn't want to fight with them, they would charge you extortion money, essentially. And that's how you would have to stay protected. So these were just evil, bad people. And we're going to pick up there. And it says in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" So here is God talking to one of his prophets, Jonah. And he tells Jonah, that wicked and evil nation of people, those people who are terrible and the ones who do all this wrong, I want you to go up and I want you to go and warn Nineveh and tell Nineveh that, look, all of your wickedness has come up against me, and I want you to repent. I want you to stop doing what you're doing. And so he tells Jonah this, and Jonah is a prophet of his, and really the people of Nineveh are really the enemies to the children of Israel. So he's telling him to go tell the men who kill your brethren and tell the men who do all this, I want you to tell them of the error of their way so they can repent. So naturally, Jonah thinks like most of us would think, what do you mean? Go tell these people, these evil people, they don't care about you. They don't want to hear about you. And I don't even want to tell them about you, God. So the Bible is interesting because it tells us in verse 3, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare and he went down to it to go to them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So what we have here is where God told Jonah to go, and Jonah says no. That's what we have. God says, I want you to go tell those people, go warn them, go let them know so that they can repent, so that they can turn. And Jonah looks to God and says, uh-uh, I'm not doing it. And in fact, when you look at this verse, I don't want you to think that Jonah was slow. He wasn't slow. Jonah quite honestly knew that God's presence was everywhere. He knew who God was, and that God was all-knowing, and that God was all-powerful, and that God knows and can hear everything. So when the Bible says that he was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord, he wasn't thinking that he was going to get away from God as much as saying, I'm not going to do what you say. I'm done trying to live for you, God. I'm not willing to do this. I'm not willing to do what you told me to do. So he left the presence of God, if you want to look at it like that. So here you have Jonah who's leaving the presence of God. He's not going to follow God. He's not going to be God's prophet anymore. He is done all because God said go and Jonah said no. So now you have Jonah who's on this ship, the Bible tells us, who he goes down and he's trying to go. God tells him to go east and he's going west. So he's going completely opposite direction. And verse 4-5 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, laid down, and was fast asleep." So here you have this scene where all of these men were afraid and the wind is going and God calls this wind to come and the waves are crashing against the boat and they get nervous. And so what they begin to do is they begin to pray to their gods. And they start to pray to their gods that their gods could save them. And as they see that that's not working, what I find interesting is that they then start to just throw things off the boat to lighten the load of the ship. And while they're up there going through all this chaos and all this stuff, you have Jonah who has decided, I'm no longer going to serve God. I'm done. I'm not going to do it. He's on the bottom of the ship, sleep. Verses 6-9 says, "So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Let us cast lots. Let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots and the lots fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and what people are you? So as the people are afraid and the captain comes down to Jonah, he tells a man, how can you sleep at a time like this? Wake up. You call on your God too so that we can be saved. And perhaps your God will answer and he will save us. And then they try to figure out what happened. What did we do wrong? We must have did something wrong. Somebody had to do something wrong because all of a sudden you have all this stuff going. So they cast lots. The lots falls on Jonah. And then they start asking Jonah, who are you? Where do you come from? What people are you from? Because all this stuff is happening, so we now know that it's you who's the cause of it. Tell us who you are. And Jonah tells them who he is. And he tells them that he's a prophet who fears the Lord God. He tells them he's the one who serves the God who created the sea and dry land. And then he says in verses 9 through 12, he says, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea is growing more tempestuous, and said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea that the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. So they ask him a question as they get more and more afraid. They said, look, what should we do? How should we stop this? What should we do? The sea is getting more and more wild. And he says, look, I know that this problem is because of me. Throw me into the thing. Pick me up and throw me in because for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Now, I'm going to look at Jonah a little bit different this morning. And as I continue to read this text, for some reason, as I look at it, I can't help get my mind around the words that he says. When he says, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Now that speaks to me, and this may have nothing to do with you. But when I read that, that speaks to me because I think of this world that we live in as being the sea. I think like this. And as I look at the world and I see that the world is in such a disarray and so sinful and all these things, I can't help but hear the words of Jonah that when I think of the world, I think that it's like this because of me. And you would say, Brent, how in the world is the world in an uproar and disarray and so messed up and so sinful because of you? And I believe that sometimes there's a little Jonah in me. Sometimes there's a little Jonah that when God says go, I say no. Sometimes when God tells me to go and do, I don't choose to do. And that is just like me trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. Sometimes I find myself not being exactly the way I need to be, not being concerned about the things I need to be concerned about, not paying attention to the things I need to pay attention to. And so when I look at that, I think about as a Christian, what influence do I really have over the world? What influence do I really have when it comes to people that I come in contact with? And if I'm doing my job, and I'm on my job that as I see things that are wrong and I hear things that are wrong, I will address those things. And oh, I may not be able to change the world as a whole, but I can surely affect the world that is around me. And so when I think about Jonah, I begin to think about the little Jonah in me, how I may make excuses at times. How I have the mindset of Jonah that could cause me not to just look at something the way it needs to be done or address something the way it needs to be addressed. And I'm mindful of the words that Jonah told them. Jonah said, you know what you need to do? You need to throw me overboard. I heard Tracy's daddy say it like this. We all have a little Jonah in us that we need to throw overboard. See, when you think about the mariners who were on the ship, they spent all that time throwing all these things overboard, trying to get rid of all this stuff, but the thing that they needed to get rid of was Jonah. Because Jonah was the thing that was causing problems for them. It was the Jonah in their life that was causing problems. When you are afraid of spreading God's word because you're afraid of the relationships that you may lose, that's a little bit of Jonah that you need to throw overboard. When you're afraid of to mention God on the job because you don't want people to know that you serve God, you don't want people to know that you're a member of the church, you don't want people to know that you may believe different than them and think different than them, and you're supposed to be acting different than them, that's a little bit of Jonah that you need to throw overboard. You may have family members that you come in contact to and you don't talk to them, you don't show them, you don't challenge them with God's word, because that's a little bit of Jonah in you that you need to throw overboard. You have to think about those times that you should be teaching and you should be showing and you should be correcting. And when you don't do that, you're ultimately telling God, no, I will not go. And that's the Jonah that needs to be thrown overboard. And whatever keeps you from sharing the gospel, from teaching God's word, it's that mindset. That was the mindset of Jonah. And I'm trying to get you to see this morning that that's what we have to throw overboard. See, this world is turned upside down. We have everything that's in disarray. And here we are as God's people at times who were around that, and that chaos is going on, and we're in the bottom of the ship, sleep like we don't see anything. Sleep like we don't see people and our friends in sin. Sleep like we don't need to address something. Sleep like it's not our responsibility. And when I think about my responsibility, I can't help but to look at those words and say that I know, because of my responsibility, because of what God has called me to do, that if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, that the world will be in a disarray because of me. And God wants me to control the environment that I'm in by making sure I act the way I'm supposed to act, talk the way I'm supposed to talk, correct those things I'm supposed to correct, and share His word the way I'm supposed to share it. And when I say, God, I will not share your word, I cannot share your word, I just can't find it within myself to share your word, I'm telling you, that is just like Jonah. No, I won't go. I don't think we really think about what's going on here. We have brethren from this congregation who have left the Lord. We have brethren from this congregation who are tied up in sin. Their lives are upside down. There is no hope. There's no reason for them to keep on keeping on. And we're surrounded by people every single day in the same situation. And God is telling us, wake up and do something about it. Wake up. Don't let your brethren fall asleep. Wake up. Don't let them get lazy. Don't let them get weak. Don't let them walk away. Go and save them and help them. That is your responsibility. And when we allow the lives to become chaotic, then I have to say, I'm going to take some ownership there. It is because of me not doing what I ought to do. We got to ask ourselves a question. How do I know that God doesn't send me into those situations to say something? How do I know that God's not going to come back and say, Brent Mohair, I sent you there to that place at that time so you could say something, but by me not saying anything makes me just like Jonah. I'm not going to do it. Those people? God, you want me to help and show those people? No. The deeper question we should really ask ourselves is this. How does he go from being a prophet of God, one who's supposed to be proclaiming God's word, to a man who's running from God? That's a good question. How does Jonah become a prophet of God to a man who's turned his back and he is now running from God? And I am fairly convinced that the more that you study, the more you will realize the point that I'm about to make. And this point may hurt. The more you study, the more you are going to realize this point. Are you ready? The true essence of being a Christian. It's not just helping people. It's not just being kind to others. It's not just being a good example so that people can see that you're a good person. The true essence of being Christ-like is caring for another's soul. For you and I to pray about every situation, every opportunity that we can help others to make it to heaven. And when we see that, we don't have too much of a problem looking at that when it comes to in here. We're pretty good about looking out for one another in the church. We're pretty good about praying for those individuals and seeking opportunity and trying to help one another. But what we have a problem with is the same problem that Jonah had. You want me to go to those people? I want you to go to Nineveh. God, you want me to go to those people and talk to those people? Those people don't deserve you, God. Those people don't want to hear about you. Those people don't care about you. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. God, those people aren't even a good people. I've talked to the people of yours who aren't being obedient, but you want me to go to those people? I want you to go to Nineveh. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it, God. And the real lesson for me, in this is that anything that gets in the way, anything that causes me to lose focus of the soul of a man, anything that causes me not to pay attention to trying to help others to learn about God and understand about God, to help save their soul, anything that causes that to happen really is my Jonah, and I need to throw it overboard. And just like those people, I can spend all day throwing over all these things that I need to work on and all these things that I think are going to save me and stop me from drowning and get all that extra weight off the boat, and that's good. But the real thing that each and every one of us have to make sure we do is that we have enough love to go to another person to help save their soul. And when we don't have that attitude, then we cannot sing songs like When I Survey the Cross. We cannot sing those songs about, oh, what wonderful love he had for me. Because what you and I must realize is that that same love was the love for everybody in this world. And how dare we, as the people of God, the people who God has forgiven and God has given mercy and grace to, say that they don't deserve it. Shame on us. So let me tell you how the story continues. So they throw Jonah overboard, and God sends a fish. And we all know the fish swallows Jonah up. Jonah's in the belly of the fish for 3 days. And while he's in the belly of the fish, he begins to come to himself and realize, what am I doing? God, I tried to run from you, and I realized that there is no running from God. There is no running from God, because when I come to life and life starts beating me up, there's nowhere I can go but to the Lord. So you can't run from him because you need him. So you might as well do what he says do. And Jonah comes back and says in chapter 2, God, you see me in the depths of Sheol, and you see me suffering, and you see me, and you throw me this life support, and you take care of me. I understand. So the Bible says, because Jonah prays this beautiful prayer of repentance, and the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish and vomited Jonah on the dry ground. I wonder what that fish heard. And he goes and spits Jonah up on dry ground. And when he spits him up on dry ground, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice what happens in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. I want you to know that in spite of everything that happened to Jonah, everything that Jonah came into realization, God's command did not change. I want you to go. Preach to Nineveh. Let that be our lesson. that no matter what we think and how we feel, that doesn't change what God told us to do. It doesn't change the fact that God told us to go into the world, be the light of the world, be ready to give an answer, and we are supposed to be bought with the blood of Christ, and you tell that story. That doesn't change. It doesn't matter how afraid we become, it doesn't matter how prideful we become, it doesn't matter anything, circumstances involved, God said go. And when you don't do it, you're saying no like Jonah. So Jonah goes and does what God tells him to do. He goes and preaches to that city and he talks to them and he tells them God's getting ready to destroy you in 40 days and it's coming and God's getting ready to destroy you. And they say, wait a minute, we're going to repent, we're going to change. And they do change and they change. And all of a sudden, because they change, Jonah becomes upset. And instead of him becoming happy that his enemy had changed and they're trying to do right, he becomes upset. And the story goes that he tells God this. That's why I didn't want to go in the first place. Because I knew that you were a merciful God. And I knew that if they turned from their ways, you would relent from what you said you're going to do, and they would have opportunity. I didn't want them to be saved. That's really what he's telling God. Now, I would venture to say that none of us have that attitude. I would venture to say that none of us have the attitude that there's people in this world that we just don't want to be saved. But I would say that our actions show that that's true. When we don't take the opportunity to tell them of God and to show them of God, we are essentially saying that I don't want you to be saved. So Jonah gets upset. He goes out to the east of the city, leaves the city, goes out to the east and sits there and just looks at the city, waiting to see what happens. And it's hot out there. So as it's hot, God turns around and grows this plant for him. And he has this plant that's over Jonah's head. And Jonah is happy about the plant because the plant is keeping him shade. And he's happy about the plant. But the next day, next night, God allows the plant, the worm to come, destroy the plant by eating on it. And then God sends hot winds and the sun. And Jonah is sitting there and he's wishing to die. He's mad about the plant. And God asks him, why are you mad about this plant? He said, don't I have a right to be mad about this plant? Don't I have a right to be mad about my discomfort and all these things? And God asked him a question. But the Lord said, you had pity on the plant for which you had not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night, and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which more than 120,000 persons who could not discern between their right and left, and much livestock. God is saying, how can you have pity about a plant? The irony is that you wanted to have mercy, Jonah, when you were in the belly of the whale. You wanted to have mercy when I could have turned around and destroyed you. You cried out to me and said, God, you are such a great God because you had mercy on me when I didn't deserve it. God, you're such a great God. But the irony is that when I want to save a disobedient people, I want them to know the truth about me. You find that that's unacceptable. And what he's saying is that he doesn't believe that others deserve God's mercy. And if you ever find yourself in that boat, that those people don't deserve to know the truth, you got to throw that overboard. If you ever find yourself in that boat that because we are members of the church and God's people, we got it and too bad for them because they don't understand it, you better throw that attitude overboard. If you get to a point that you think it is okay and acceptable just because people come and worship with us on a regular basis, that you don't need to do anything else because hopefully one day they'll get it, you better throw that attitude overboard. If you think that you can just continue to go through life and all you have to focus on in life is you and your family and your children, you better throw that attitude overboard. Jonah was the problem. The reason why everything was in disarray is because Jonah didn't do what Jonah was supposed to do. Look at the life of your friends. Look at the life of your coworkers. Look at the life of your neighbors. Don't you think that they would all need a little bit of the truth? There are thousands of people out there who just need a life preserver. And God is telling you and me that we aren't special. We are His life preservers. He's throwing us out and saying, you go out there, and if they grab a hold, praise the Lord. But if they don't, at least you go. How many times did I miss my assignment? Not going there and talking to them. Because I wasn't focused on the soul of a man. What's the purpose of a life preserver? To be thrown out there. To give them an opportunity. To give them a chance to grab hold. And if they grab a hold of God, praise God. And if they don't, you pray that they will grab a hold of God. But you go. Go to Nineveh. So I'm going to tell you the message that God gave to them, to Nineveh. It's simple. And I'm going to tell you this message because if you're here this morning, I want you to understand how simple the message was. If you're not right with God, and if you die in that condition, the Bible is clear that you cannot and will not make it to heaven. If you die in that condition, that you're not right with God. And God doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He so much doesn't want us to go to hell that He sent His Son to die for you so that you would not have to go to hell. He loves you. He wants you to be part of His family. He wants you to be in heaven with them. And all He said that you have to do is simple. He said, you confess that Jesus is the Christ, my Son. He says, you turn from your ways. He says, and when you do that, I want you to have your sins washed away. You go down in the watery grave of baptism, and you let me cleanse you. You let me make you whole, and you rise up as a new creature. And when you make that, you have to be ready to change, because you're not done yet. I need you to be a life preserver. God's trying to save your soul this morning. Please take hold of His life preserver, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please take hold of it and be obedient to Him. And if you are here this morning, you have lost focus of what you're supposed to be doing, and you got caught up in looking at the people and the circumstances instead of the soul of a man, which is what a Christian should really be concerned about, then I beg you to ask God for forgiveness, ask God for prayer, ask God for strength, ask God to help you throw that attitude overboard. If you are set to the invitation anyway, please come forward as together we stand and sing.